Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 20. If you're new, we're going through the letter to the Philippians. We're almost done. We're right down to the second to the last verse, basically. Just a couple more verses behind this on greetings and that kind of thing. So I just want to kind of finish up with 20. And in that, we are going to go in a little bit into our vision, our purpose as a church. I've been preaching on that for a couple weeks. And then Bobby came in last week and preached. And I loved it because he took loving people, and I'm doing loving God. And he talked about, do you remember he talked about valuing people like God values them? Isn't that a good thought? I mean, that changed my life when I heard that years ago. I thought, man, if God values people, how can we disvalue them? How can we be that way? And so, anyhow, I loved what he had to say last week. And we're on verse 20, and it says, "Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Can you imagine God getting glory while you are standing in heaven? Can you go there in your mind with me? And you're watching. And I think to myself, man, I can't wait to get to the forever and ever part of that verse. Forever with him, forever without sin and disease and futility and death, forever to serve him. And being able to truly love him forever, to give him praise and the honor due him. I am of the opinion, after reading Romans 11, that the gifts and calling of God, says, are without repentance. That what we do in our spiritual gifts, we will be doing for eternity. This is just a little practice boot camp down here. We're going to be able to give him the recognition and the power and the glory and the honor, because he reigns. He reigns. And to see his throne will be unbelievable. To see the seraphim, and we've talked about that several times, encircling the throne, covering the Lord. And all the hosts of heaven will surround the throne and listen to the seraphs yell at each other, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And his glory fills all the earth." Won't that be neat? What a day that will be. But do you realize that in this life now, loving God can be a love affair? Now, when I say that, I hope I reach some of you tonight who have a difficulty finding emotions or feelings of love towards God, even though you are a Christian and there is no doubt you're a Christian. You know, I had a discussion a few weeks back with a pastor, and he made this statement of his personal concern to me. He said this, "I have trouble with the idea of loving God with emotions or even envisioning him, because God isn't tangible or touchable and is by faith and not by sight. So how am I to have emotional relationship with God?" I think it's a fair question. I thought about his comments till today, and realized that many of you may be in the same boat as this pastor. It may be hard for you, and you listen to people who have all this emotion about God, and you think, are they faking it? You know, and especially when I'm speaking about the purpose of for which harvest exists, for which we come together, which is loving God and then loving people. So you might not say anything because it sounds like you don't have a relationship with God if you can mention some kind of emotional response or some situation that you have. And so, in fact, you may think that no matter what you do, because there isn't much emotional connection like you see in others, you might conclude or even ask yourself, maybe I'm not saved yet. Or something is wrong with me. So you might say the sinner's prayer over and over, and I've seen people raise their hand at the end of the service over and over and over, And finally, one guy said, how come you keep raising your hand over and over? And he says, well, every time you do the sinner's prayer, Clyde does the sinner's prayer, you say it a little bit different. So I raised my hand to get myself covered. Well, think about it. He isn't an emotional type guy. He just wants to make sure he has all his words lined up. Some of us are built that way. But listen to me carefully, especially if I am talking to you today. Embracing God is by faith, not by sight, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? It's by faith and not by sight. Not necessarily by feelings or physical touch or feelings that can be generated. It doesn't require gushy feelings or a spiritual experience or breaking down in tears or some manifestation of God. It requires belief that He is, and that He is Lord, and that He died for you, and that He forgave your sin and my sin. And some people, upon belief, have overwhelming feelings from the experience because of the realization that they have been forgiven. And others will have this intellectual understanding and they feel good about it. Well, until they hear a testimony from somebody like me or somebody else who's had more of that emotional experience, and they feel like something's missing. Or it's required of them to have an experience like that. And sometimes in the Christian community, we do push that on other people, don't we? Which is a shame. So let me clarify again. Not one place in the Bible does it even suggest that salvation must be accompanied by emotion or a highly charged experience. Are you hearing me on that? I'm really talking to you who have a tough time with this. You know, a pastor several years ago told me that he was over 50 years old, and he actually told the whole congregation he said, this week, I finally felt some emotional feelings about loving God. And he'd been in the pulpit for years and years. Now, did that mean that he wasn't saved or something was wrong with him? No. All of us have different personalities and different makeup. And he wasn't of the emotional type. If I asked him, how do you feel? He would stare at me. He had no idea how he felt. On the other hand, others of you are extremely emotional and carry a high emotional feeling about God from the very beginning. And I would kind of include myself in on that. In my own life, I've had tremendous, it's not so much feelings as it is passion. Because the day that I came to Jesus Christ, I was turning from almost violent sin to righteousness. And if you don't think that's day and night, I'm telling you, when I asked Christ to come in my life, it felt like honey being poured over me. That's what it felt like. And then my wife, she's was born and raised in a Christian family. She's never had an experience like that. There is no doubt in my mind that Christ has come into my life and it was emotional, and I have no doubt in my mind there are other people who trust God and they pray and they invite Jesus Christ in their life and it doesn't have much emotion, and it's okay. Still others of you are in between the two of us. The no-feelers and the very passionate. Okay, I'm very passionate, that's why I'm up here, right? And when we say our purpose is loving God and people, loving God is something that for some take a while, for others it doesn't take so long, and valuing people in that is how we are able to love people. You can feel emotion and passion about it, but let me explain this. Back when we were in Philippians 4, 6, I came to a concept that kind of blew my socks up and down. I want to read this to you. It's not up on there, but Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You know the verse, right? Let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, what you think and imagine is going to go far beyond that, the peace that's in your life. And how many of you experience that? That at times when things are falling apart, all of a sudden you have this calm in your life and you think, how in the world do I feel calm? And it's because we've taken it to him in prayer. And so when it says surpasses all understanding, it means it talks about the mind, the physical facility of understanding, reasoning, and deciding. Imagining. The imagination is talked about in Scripture, but it's usually more in the negative sense because faith is the imagination in the positive sense. When God talks about faith, he's talking about being able to imagine. Being able to imagine him. And I thought, I listened to this author during that time, and he said this, one of the reasons God gave you and I an imagination is so that you can imagine him through your faith. Did you ever think about that? Man, when I read that, I thought, man, that's kind of cool. You know, we think, you know, I'm pretty imaginary, are you? Man, I can imagine a lot of things. I even remember when we were standing in this field about right here, and the guy I was with, and he was one of those not-so-emotional guys, and he says, oh, man, we were praying about building the building, and he said, can you imagine the building? I said, Clay. I said, I'm considering moving my desk in my office because people are looking at me through the information center. That's how clearly I can see the building. And he couldn't see it all. Because I've got a vivid imagination that way, and it used to get me in trouble because I daydreamed all the time. And so I look at some of you who don't have a lot of that kind of thing, and I think what God's saying by faith is we've got to use our imagination. We can't see him. We can't touch him. We can't hear him specifically tell us and describe himself except when we read about him from his word. Amen? What he or prophet says about himself or how he describes himself or how others describe and observe his character and his actions. And all this means is our faith can create God in our minds through our imagination and concluded thought process. And we can see that imagination to put him together in our minds, not to box him in, because that's one of the negative sides of imagination, isn't it? So we can get God all comfortable and in a box, and he doesn't fit. But we can use our imagination to begin to understand who God is by according to how he's described in the Bible, and we get a glimpse of his majesty, and we can talk to him and believe he is there because the Bible says we have direct access to the Father in Ephesians chapter 2. And we can talk to him, and we can allow his Holy Spirit to reside in our heart and whisper in our hearts and have a love affair with God. Because loving God by faith uses the imagination. And the imagination creates a sense of reality, a sense of confidence, a sense of conviction, a sense of assurance, a sense of devotion and trust. And if you remember, faith is described this way in Hebrews 11, 1, as now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And we might expand to say this, now faith is the substance or confidence of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of things or events not seen, is what the author is saying. Our faith creates the reality of God in our life. Do you realize that? And if we build our idea upon His Word, if we build our concept and image not based on the Word of God, lacking in faith in what we read, but based in maybe our earthly father or friends that weren't so good of friends or the world's concept, our image can become distorted about God. Now let me give you some example. Go to the next slide. You might then think God, if you depend on the world and you depend on what you've experienced, you might see Him as a slave driver, or you might see Him as a punisher. I don't know how many people I've talked to where they say, God's angry and He punishes me all the time. And I think, gosh, man, that's not the God I know in the Bible. Or the next slide. He's too busy for me. You know, the problem is we've been raised in homes like my dad worked two jobs, and so he was hardly ever around. And so when I was a young kid, I felt like, man, he didn't really care much. He was too busy for me. You ever feel that way? I'm sure that certain of you experienced that, certain of you haven't. Or the next one. God rejects me. Because maybe your parents rejected you every time you did something wrong. They sent you to the room and they never came back. You know, it's one of those kind of things. And you sat in a room and, you know, I was an extrovert. My dad would do that to me. And he'd say, you go to your room and you think about it. And so I didn't think about it. I went to my room and looked out the window and that kind of thing. And pretty soon he'd come back and he says, well, have you thought about it? And I'd go, yeah. And he'd say, what do you have to say? And I always knew the words to say. And so he says, good. So he thought it was very effective to send me to my room. Well, you know what? That's kind of a form of rejection, isn't it? What about the distant and uncaring God? I don't know how many people I've talked to that just feel like they're not attached to God, that He's distant and He's uncaring, and it's because of their experience in life, or the absenteeism God. The God who's just not there. We may know Him and yet He's not there. So here's the truth of the matter. We will create God with our imagination. It may be negative, it may be positive, but we will create it. Amen? And so what I'm saying is we need to create it according to His Word, according to what the Bible says. Now let's think of it about it again. What about the listening God? The God that hears me. What does the Scripture say? For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. When the body of Christ started, it says in the Scripture, Paul says in Ephesians 2, that we have direct access to God. Before it had to go through the priest. Now it goes directly to the Father. I love this in Romans 8:27. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit comes in, reads your spirit, takes it to the Father, and tells Him what it is. Is that cool or what? Is He listening? Heck yeah. The God who loves us. I love this in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love in which He loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. We have an understanding God. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit takes it to the Father, and the Father understands you and I. What about the God that's a friend? Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're not only friends, we're His children. We're His family. And then we get to that deep, loving God who loves me and loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the God we know. That's the God that we can begin to imagine. What is your image of God? What have you created in your life? Did you create that negative God, or did you create that loving God? Who have you built with your imagination? Is it the God of the Bible? Or is it the God of negativity? And then we understand why it says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more we read, the stronger our faith gets, the more God becomes reality, the more we build the picture of him using our imagination, our faith. As we begin to use our faith and we begin to use imagination, we can pull out of that place where we have no feeling. Because we begin to build a real picture of God. If the worship team will come up, I hear him laughing out there in the hallways. So. Hey, Will, it's time to come back. I want you to listen to some people that were successful in their imagination, their faith in loving God with a drive throughout their whole lives, all the way to their death. Listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, it says, these all died in faith. And we could even say, these all died in imagination. Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets and the martyrs believing in God in Christ. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Now, how did they see them afar off? But seeing that the promises were coming, they saw that by faith. Were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and that's what we declare, isn't it? As we begin to understand, God, who wants to even be here? In some senses. And then the author goes on, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They had the faith in God and knew him, and they were persuaded in their faith. And they knew there was another place, because just in their faith ability, they just knew this wasn't right. This earth isn't right. And they began to look for that city. They began to look for those promises that they heard from God. And they kept moving forward until they passed. And they died without those promises, knowing that they're still going to be fulfilled. We even get to the place with Abraham, and God tells him to sacrifice his son. And he gets up on a rock, which is Jerusalem now, was Mount Moriah then. He puts him on a rock, and he goes to stab his son. And the scripture says he did that because he knew he'd bring him back to life. He knew his son would come back. That's how strong his faith is. Now, faith is a substance, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or proof of things or events or happenings not seen. Imagination, faith. Imagination, faith. It gets us in trouble, or it builds our image of God, that picture with that faith. That we begin to have a relationship with God, and we begin to talk to him, and we begin to know him through the word of God. And you can have those feelings for God, but it takes your imagination faith. and hope in Him. Let's stop and we're going to worship together. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight. We celebrate it at the end of the month. If you're new, you can join us, okay?